Good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to the... I think I would just listen.
It's begun.
Let's do it again, and let me start with what I was going to say. That's what this is. What you've come to expect after 10 seasons of FPL Family. Welcome back, everyone, to FPL Family. My name is Lee. This is Sam. If you're new around here, this is your first time watching FPL Family. This is what it's like all the time. The OGs that are in the chat will tell you the microphones don't work, the technology doesn't work, but we are here, Sam, back again. For another season of FPL, another season of fun, frolics, torture, I don't know, just general nightmares on a week-to-week basis.
We love it, don't we? As and I have decided that this is our year.
Okay, on what basis?
It just can't be bad.
It just can't be bad.
So
okay.
We are, this year, as and I are going to be Spurs. We're basically going to have been crap for a couple of years. And this is
back.
The year to rise.
Okay. The year of the rise.
Are you joining the rise?
No. I'll tell you why.
Do you want to come on the journey?
There's absolutely loads to discuss tonight. Loads to discuss. I want to talk about why I think this is going to be one of the hardest seasons ever.
No, this is the year.
I want to talk about it.
This is the year I win.
What I will say, Sam, is this is, for those of you that have followed us all the way from the Green Curtain era, you know, the OGs know what that means.
Oh, and the police.
This is, and the yeah, okay, it's not the amount of ties straight away. This is our 10th season.
Yes,
this
is
the 10th season of FPL Family. Guys, we've been doing this guff and waffle and nonsense and not figuring out that I need to turn the microphones on at the beginning of a live stream.
All those things are you, by the way.
10 years, by the way.
It's not turning mics on. These are all you issues.
10 years, by the way. And you know what? When you say this is the year of the rise, this is it, this is the year.
Yeah.
What makes you think that after 10 years of playing this ridiculous game that we're all addicted to and we find so hard and affects us every weekend, what makes you think, Sam, that this is going to be this? Why is this the season of the rise? Come on.
Because this is the year that Spurs are going to not be terrible.
For God's sake, right.
And because of that, I am going to find it much nicer.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about your club in a minute because...
Can I just say one thing I'm a little bit worried about?
Yeah, what?
Your table is on my mic cable. And every time you move the table, it stresses me that you're going to unplug my mic.
Well, so it's bound to happen.
Just don't move your table.
Don't move my table. Don't move the microphone. Don't touch any technology, basically, because it's just that's what happens here. It just goes wrong.
No. Although, I am hoping that at some point this season we might be starting next season, but you never know. At some point we might get a new fancy space to stream from. Yeah.
Well, this is it. I mean, that is a huge spoiler alert, Sam. I didn't think for a minute you were going to discuss that. But that's coming way in the future.
The plans are drawn.
Yeah, we are thinking about extending the space in which we do the FPL Family live show and having a bit more space, having a bit more of a different sort of background. I don't know. I mean,
more professionally.
I don't know if you can ever say we're more professional, Sam. Can you? I mean, I forgot to turn the mics on.
Lee, when we have a podcast studio.
Oh, are we calling it that?
Yeah.
Are we? Okay.
It's going to be soundproofed. All right. It's going to be the business.
I can't believe you've mentioned that. What are we like?
Well, I don't know.
We are
why,
in.
Because I think it's because it stressed me out because you put the table on the mic and in my head I thought, this is really stressful. I can't wait to have a bigger room to do this in. Where it's all set up all the time and we don't have to worry about the technology. I think that's where I went.
Okay. We're 10 minutes in and you've discussed something that is coming months in the future. I might not even be this season. This is in the future. Long, long-term plans. But listen, before we talk about any more plans, and by the way, welcome along, right? If you are new to FPL Family, that was 10 minutes of complete and utter guff and waffle. That is what you get here. Yes, there are some FPL tips every now and again. Yes, there is some insight. Yes, we will discuss our teams. We're going to talk about who you guys are picking. We're going to talk about the template. We're going to talk about what we think of the prices. What we have loads of stuff to talk about tonight. We did do an Ohana podcast on our Patreon. We've got a Patreon. All the links are in the description below. Patreon.com/FPL Family. Every single week, we do a free Ohana podcast for anybody, right? So you haven't got to sponsor us at any tiers. Very nice if you want to come and support us here at FPL Family. But even if you don't, go over to patreon.com/FPL Family, get yourself a free account and just follow us, right? You just have to hit the follow button on there and you'll get the free Ohana podcast every week. And we did one on Thursday where we did a bit of an initial reaction, a bit of a sort of like, I don't know, the prices are out, what do we think? But we didn't reveal our teams. We're going to do that a bit later tonight.
We tried to keep that for tonight.
Yeah, I think so. So we gave a few thoughts on initial prices and stuff. But so what we're going to do tonight is we will kind of develop that chat a little bit. Yep. We've got obviously our team reveals in terms of what our first drafts are looking like for game week one, and you know, huge asterisks across all of that stuff, right? Because we're still, what, 2 or 3 weeks away from having, you know, the big kickoff, right?
20 days.
Is it 20 days? Okay, so there's loads still to happen. We've also got some stuff about kind of a watch list in terms of what our watch lists look like, thoughts we're having. You know, we've got our teams, but then there's a whole bunch of other players that we are obviously considering and choices we want to make. So we've got a bit of a brain dump. It's a bit of a slide. It's a bit of a brain dump in terms of what we're thinking over the last couple of weeks. Mm. And then we've got a new feature, which I think we're going to try and do a bit more regularly, which is the Fantasy Football Scout Rate My Team feature. We mentioned it on the Ohana on Thursday.
Yeah.
If you haven't checked this out, head over to Fantasy Football Scout. Again, links in the description below.
There'll be a QR code on the screen later as well if you want to wait and scan it.
Is there?
Yeah.
Cool, here we go. Look at us, 21st century. QR codes and everything.
We've upgraded.
We've got new levels. QR codes. Hello, 2024. Yeah, 20.
Who even are we?
20, I don't know, 19, when QR codes were a thing. We finally got them 6 years later here at FPL Family. There'll be QR codes where you can link to Fantasy Football Scout. One of the things the guys at Scout have developed this year is you can take a screenshot of your team on your phone. You know, you press the camera and the volume button if you've got an iPhone, right? Really easy. You know how to do that screenshot.
Stupid. They know how to take a screenshot.
I don't know.
Of course they do. They've managed to get here. Of course they're allowed to take a screenshot on their phone.
All right. You take a screenshot on your phone. You sort of upload it into the tool on Scout and it'll tell you, it'll give you a kind of an AI Rate My Team rating, right?
It's based on the Rate My Team stuff that we have at Scout. And we know that the Rate My Team is the best in class. It is the one with the best expected points. That's been proven over the last few seasons. So it looks at expected points, it looks at minutes, expected minutes and all of that jazz, and it spits out a number and looks at how your team is. And if you are a free user, it will just give you that and it will give you an overall number. If you are a premium, a Chief Scout member, it will go further than that, and you'll see that on ours in a little while. It'll break it down by position and tell you how good each position is, and it will also give you some recommended transfers that it thinks would improve your team as it is at the moment. And obviously over pre-season, the tool is constantly learning. Every time there's pre-season minutes, it's learning about how the teams are playing, and it will update. So Mosquera's minutes have already upgraded over the last couple of weeks with news about Saliba's injury and all that kind of stuff. And that will continue to happen as pre-season plays out.
Nice. All right. Well, listen.
More on that later.
Yeah, more on that a bit later. We're going into a bit more detail with that when we show you our teams. And then we'll show you what the Rate My Team tool is saying. You know, what we're getting a rating out of 100. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam, because as usual...
12 minutes in, Lee. We've not said hello.
I know. Well, we've got to say hello, haven't we? And as usual, we've got a whole host of names, Sam. Loads of people.
I hope the regulars are back.
I tell you what, you guys, honestly, we love you so much. You're just here. There were names in here where I'm just like, he'll be there. She'll be there. Because they're here every single week. Every single week. It's absolutely unreal. We should give a special shout out and a special mention, first of all, to our friend Simon, Nigel the Crab, a member here at the FPL Family YouTube channel. So again, you can sign up. We've got the Patreon thing if you want to become a member of the channel. We got that as well. There's a button you can click next to subscribe somewhere that gives you some stuff. And Simon has been supporting us, get this, for 52 months. 52 months. What's that like? Four seasons in with Si as a member now.
Simon and I have done a marathon together.
It's all sorts. Yeah.
We're real life friends.
I know. Real friends IRL, as we are with many of you in the chat. Many
Absolutely.
Of you in the chat. And speaking of IRL, we are going to be at Fantasy Football Fest.
Yes, but not for the whole weekend. So if you do want to hang out with us, we'll be there on Friday.
Friday we'll be there. Can't make it Saturday, but Friday we're absolutely
going to
be there.
There's a big game on Saturday.
Correct. So Si's in. He says, well, hello there. Hello, mate. I'm back in the UK for 10 days. Only right I joined the live stream. Thank you, mate. Love to you all. Hope everyone is happy, healthy and well. We are, mate. We're doing very, very well indeed. Very well. And I think I saw another one from another one of our long-term members. Member here for 13 months. So going into his second season with us as a YouTube member, Sam. But has been following us on Patreon and in various different forms in lots of different ways for much, much longer than that. That's Mr. George Day. Hello, George. How are you, mate? Good evening, Bonfields. Happy 10th anniversary, he says. Love that. Let's make this the best season yet. We are so back. Been here longer than 13 months. I thought you had, mate, actually.
I think you I mean, you've been here a lot longer than 13 months, but I suspect it's probably just the anniversary of you signing up as a member, I would guess.
Right.
You've been in Patreon for a lot longer than 13 months.
Oh, it absolutely has. Absolutely has. Yeah, it absolutely has. And a final, another quick shout out. Oh, that's it. Kelly T is in. Hello, Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Kelly's been following us and supporting us on Patreon for a long time as well. So nice to see you, Kelly. Happy new season. I'm just going to read this out.
Go on. Is she had a dig at you?
No.
What she said?
What I will
caveat something?
What I will preface this with,
okay,
is that one thing I love about our Patreon community is that we have a Slack, right? We have a Slack, a Slack community. For those of you who don't know Slack, it's like a chat forum, right? It's got lots of different things you can chat about. That, in my mind, has become a bit more than just an FPL community, right? There's people in there that genuinely meet up because they've become friends on there, right? And there's...
I mean, Duncan's staying at George's house for first.
Half of them
have rented an Airbnb together and they're all staying together for the whole weekend. It's wicked. It's great.
It's so good. And we all support each other. Yes, of course, we're talking FPL in there. Yeah, of course we are. And we're all having a dig at each other. We're celebrating the wins, all
especially
the rest of it,
everyone's
right?
Having a dig at the United fans, especially.
Yeah, yeah. But Kelly's in with the super chat. She says, as a reminder...
Yeah.
As a public service announcement,
yep.
George bottled the league. Congratulations to Claire, who won.
Do you want to know a funny story about that? Is that, well, I met up with some of our patrons right at the back end of last season. Aaron was over from Singapore. I met up with them. And before George arrived, I did a FaceTime call. I was with Steve, and we FaceTimed Claire. She didn't know it was me, so she answered the phone expecting it to be Steve and found me there. And she was like, oh my God, why are you calling me? And I said, oh, I understand you need some help with your team. She's like, yeah, I must beat George.
Very important.
The whole thing was based on just beating George. George, we love you.
Very important, very important. So yeah, thank you as usual to Kelly, to George, to Si, to all of our Patreon supporters. FPL Gazza is in as well. Nice to see you. Joseph Maloney. Hey, mate, how are you doing? How are you doing? Louise B is here. Nice to see you, Louise. Craig is in. Hello, Craig. My brother Craig is in.
Happy birthday to
you. Well, stop you right there.
Yeah.
Because he hates that, by
the
way.
That's why I've done it.
Okay, so if we can in the chat get a couple of... If you can write happy birthday with the little musical note next to it for my brother, Craig, who's in the chat, 40 years old yesterday. Big birthday for my brother, Craig. If we can get a few happy birthdays in the chat.
Happy birthday, Craig.
I'd say he'd love it. He won't. He'll hate it. And that's absolutely why
I'm surprised
he's
turned up, because I did say, if you turn up, we are going to tell everyone to sing happy birthday to you.
Yeah, correct.
So I'm surprised he's turned up.
Correct.
He's going to hate this, by the way.
If we can get as many happy birthdays in the chat, he will absolutely...
Yeah, some little celebration emojis.
He won't be happy with it at all. Chatterbox is in. Nice to see you. We've got Chris B. Stephen G2D is in. Matthew Knight's another guy. Matthew, you've been here...
Forever.
Season after season, mate. Thank you for following us and supporting us, as always. Leighton is in. Nice to see you, Leighton. We have got Steve Tyler. Nice to see you, Steve. Sandry is in. We've got, who else we got? The Smiths. Azzy. Nice to see you back in, mate.
He's almost the OG. Almost.
Almost, I reckon. Almost. We're getting a lot of happy birthdays in the chat. He will be hating it. Yes. Lovely. Lovely, lovely. Also, we should mention that right now, literally it kicked off a few minutes ago, Liverpool in pre-season action. So, of course, I'm here. We are not watching that game. Any updates? Please get him in the chat. Please say 1-0 Liverpool. Oh. Already 1-0 Liverpool.
They're playing Leeds.
In a pre-season friendly.
Who scored?
Luke Chambers has scored. Came from
Dom Szoboszlai.
A Dominic Szoboszlai corner.
I love Dom Szoboszlai.
Interestingly, taken from the right hand side. So despite in recent let's not go off on a Liverpool run.
Oh, here
but
we go.
Despite Wirtz taking a lot of the right sided corners in pre-season and in training videos, Szoboszlai on right and left corners tonight, apparently. Maybe.
Mm. Yeah, because he is playing Wirtz in the 10.
Yeah, let's see.
Oh, and Rio out on the left.
Yep. So listen, let's... of course, we will talk about Liverpool at some stage over the course of this this live stream. But any updates, guys, get them in the chat. Would love to hear how Liverpool are getting on against Leeds. Whether we score, whether they score, good to know. Good to know. Where would you like to start, Sam? Would you like to start with... We can talk about fixtures. I've got a slide on fixture ticker. We obviously got our teams. I've got a bit of an experimental slide that I'd like to try in just a second. I want to see how you guys react to this slide. it's a bit of a change of camera. Let's just try this and see how it goes. But that is a bit of a conversation about the template. And I've got it on a kind of team selected by in the window. We can look at who's kind of... Should we do that? Should we look at who people are going for first? And I can try out this new character. So tell me what you think of this guy. I don't know. This could be... If you think this is rubbish, this whole kind of dual camera... Don't start poking me, you weirdo. If you think this is rubbish, tell us. Because honestly, I just want to try this out. One of the reasons I want to try this out is because when I make YouTube Shorts highlights videos of the live streams, that left-hand side of the screen you can see there, that would make for a really good short because it's got Sam at the top, me at the bottom. And also I noticed...
Me on top.
Well, in a lot of our... And a lot of our analytics that I've seen, our YouTube analytics, a lot of you are watching us on mobile, right? So if you're watching us on your mobile, let us know if this screen looks better, if you like it, right? And I know we're going to get a bit of this. Look. We're going to be a bit crossfire here. But if you like it and you're watching on mobile, tell us, because a lot of our audience is mobile. And this, I think, for mobile is maybe better. I don't know. But would love your feedback. If you like it, great. If you don't, we will bin it. But for now, I'm going to just have a look at this. Keep it here for now. And as you can see in the middle of the screen, I've kind of cropped, you know, the fantasy, the FPL website in the background. Team selected by Sam. I'd want to go through... a bit of this in terms of who people are kind of going for, what's a kind of template kind of look like. At the moment, I've got it on total points. But if I do this and go to team selected by, you will see the kind of players that people are selecting. Now, question I have for you, and I asked you this on the Ohana on Wednesday. I'm going to ask it again for those that didn't, that couldn't listen to it. How do you feel you might play this season, right? What do you, I guess my question is, do you feel like you might be a bit more conservative this season? Will you go a bit more with the template, or are you feeling like you might be a bit more risky with your play? How are you feeling about it based on what we've seen so far?
Well, last season, and I appreciate that. I think I might have said this on Ohana last week, but some of you won't have watched that. I started last season without João Pedro because I wanted to start with it.
Oh, I remember, yeah.
I wanted to start with, I think, Dom Szoboszlai. Dom Solanke. And I should have gone back and checked. But I basically was like, no, it's going to be fine. He won't be that good. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the long and short of this is that by the time we got to about game week 3 or 4, I was already in the mud. And as soon as you get in the mud by not having a heavily owned player...
It's tough, isn't it? Becomes, you have to get out of the mud.
Right. It becomes so hard to dig yourself out of a hole.
Mm.
So going into this season, I'm going to try and learn a lesson with it. And I don't want to compromise my managerial style.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love a differential. I've always loved a differential. Right from the beginning, we had Sam's Jammy Picks on this stream for years and years and years and years.
Yeah,
that's
remember
always
that.
Been the way that I've played the game. Mm. And it's always worked well. But I think I need, at the start of the season, to find a balance between being different and going for those punts, but also playing it safe with some of the heavy hitters.
Yeah.
And so for me this year...
Got João Pedro on your team then?
Yeah. And okay. So for me this right. year, I'm planning to play with a... Start with a spine of heavily owned, a couple of differentials around the edges, but critically make sure that I hit price points so that it's easy to move. Because I think that was part of my issue last year as well, was that okay. movement was hard.
I have to say, and people are saying this two screen thing works well until I look at you and you're saying something, because it looks like I'm looking off the screen. Look, can you see, like, it's like, it looks weird.
But it works okay for me.
I think it works.
I know, sort of, I look like I'm looking at the...
Yeah, it's kind
don't
of weird,
look at me.
I don't know, I could kind of look that way.
Look
I don't
at
know.
Them.
That's weird. I have to say, given what I've seen so far of FPL, some of the prices that we've seen, given the amount of change that we're going to see going into this season, like, how many new managers have we got?
Nine. Well,
it's like 9,
ten,
right?
10 if you count De Zerbi.
Which I think we probably should.
Yeah,
I mean, has he had 5 games?
Yeah.
And it was in fairly extenuating circumstances that he come in. So I don't know if we've seen the... Let's say we haven't seen the real Spurs yet.
No.
Plus you've had the, a transfer window of dreams, all right, of all these 100 million players suddenly
yet,
coming
only
in, right?
60% done.
I get it, right? Yeah, totally. So with the amount of change that's going on, certainly from a managerial perspective, I feel like, and I said this on Thursday on the Ohana, and it's a little bit boring, but I do feel like I might be a bit template to start with. I feel like I might be a bit...
Boring old man.
Yeah, to start with. Mm. Because I don't want to get too far behind. And I think we won't start to see patterns in data for maybe 5, 6, or 7 weeks because there's so much change. And I don't, like you, I want to learn my lesson from last season, right? I like you, we both had pretty bad starts last season, and it was a slog to get back up, and eventually I got up into somewhere where I needed to be or wanted to be. I'd love to get off to a decent start, and to do that, I feel like going a bit template is maybe the right thing. Is that really boring?
No, I think you have to start with, you have to be conservative in some ways to start the season. Like, you can't win FPL in game week one.
No, and you're not going to get everything right game week one.
No.
The question you have to ask yourself is, how much can I get right?
Yeah, I think
it's not a case of you get it all right, you just can't.
I think more than ever you won't. Because this year we've got 9 new managers, plus De Zerbi, plus Carrick, who's now permanent, and I was only there for half a season as well. So
I think we know a little bit more about him than others, don't we?
You've got massive change. You've got clubs that have gone into the market and just splurged. You've got other clubs that have gone into the market and capitulated. Newcastle, I'm looking at you. You've got...
I say capitulated, but they've lost a lot of players.
They've lost their manager. They're about to lose Guimaraes. They're having a nightmare.
Yeah.
You've got other clubs where a huge raft of their players are still away and haven't returned from World Cup holidays yet.
Yeah.
You've got other teams that, you know, if you remember back to last summer, we all went massively heavy on Aston Villa because they were having an incredible preseason. They didn't lose a game. They were scoring goals galore.
Rodgers looked absolutely
Everyone was flying. Yeah. We got into the season. They didn't win a game for 5 weeks. They didn't even score a goal for 5 weeks. It was disastrous.
Yeah.
So that tells you something about preseason. So preseason, yes, I pay attention and I'm watching the games, obviously, and I'm looking at what's happening. But at the same time, I'm taking it a little bit with a pinch of salt because we are going to see players playing a lot of minutes in pre-season and then somebody else coming back from international duty late and taking that spot back again because they are the main man in that team. So there feels like this summer, especially on the back of a very, very hectic year for a lot of players last year, that we could see some rotation. We've got all these new managers and we don't know who they like. We've got lots of new signings to come. And of course, the season starts a little bit later. It's a bit closer to transfer deadline day, which maybe is helpful that it's closer to the end.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, we'll still see a lot of movement between game week one and the 2 weeks later when the international transfer window comes down. So I think it's sensible in some ways to be a bit safe. But at the same time, I do think that you want a couple of differential punts that are,
if you were to put percentages safe on it then. So George is in the chat. He's saying, I think he agrees, generally speaking, in principle. And he's saying like 70% template, 30% punty. Are you in that sort of bracket or are you kind of 80-20? What's
he
thinking?
No, I think I quite like the 70-30.
70-30,
because I think you want a spine. Like, so you have a spine of solid.
You need some pillars, don't you, Maresca? You need some pillars.
All right, Maresca. you want some pillars in your team, front and back. And I think also some of the... I think the one thing word of caution I would add on the template players is the template cheap players.
Okay.
Because they will get heavily owned and they are the ones that will drop in price.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's, and I do want to talk about potential chip strategies as well.
Oh, blimey.
Listen, it's important, right? It's important because...
You're going to play a chip in one?
Possibly.
Oh.
And almost certainly in one or two.
Oh, with the bench boost.
And then probably a pretty early wild card as well. I think so. So, and I do want to get, as usual, I'm waffling, but and I do want to get to teams selected by and the template and who people are picking, right? Because I appreciate I've not moved this slide on at all, but this is important, right? Because as you all know, right? So we are getting in the same way that we got last season a second set of chips.
Yeah.
And I think what we learnt last season was the, you know, set two of two after January. Yeah, yeah. Sure. You play it around the double game weeks and the singles and the blanks and all that sort of stuff, right? And you play it in the way that you historically would have played when we only just got one set of chips.
Yeah.
But this second set of chips, you know, what's available between game week one and I think it's 19 in December, it's almost like a bit of a bonus, isn't it? And we're not going to get, you know, barring any sort of like crazy disasters, we're not going to get any singles and doubles. So it's a bit kind of like you play the chips whenever you think it's right to play them in the first half of the season.
Yep.
And I think if I'm going to subscribe to my own narrative, which is it's going to be difficult, there's going to be a lot of new changes, a lot of new managers, I'm probably going to want to play that wild card early. Probably. I mean, I don't know. If I get it all right in game week one,
imagine.
Then, and I'm flying, maybe I don't need a wild card. But there are fixture turns in game week four. There's a lot of things that I might want to do in game week four and five. And by game week four and five, we're going to start to see some of the patterns in the data. I think we'll have much more of an idea about how some of these teams are going to play. Mm. So if I buy into that and I say, well, I probably am going to early wild card.
Yeah.
Is it not best then? Or no, okay. There's an opportunity then to bench boost in one or two or three, because you can set yourself up for, and I've seen this, and I don't necessarily 100% agree with it, but I've seen people setting up for, you know, treble Coventry defence at home to Hull in game week two.
Don't tell Danny.
And doing that as a bench boost, because you can then wildcard out of it in 4-5, and you can, you know, you can get rid of some of the sins of your past in game week one or two. I'm not 100% on it. I know I can see a lot of people thinking that way in terms of bench boost one or two and then wildcard. I'm not massively against it. I don't hate it. Put it that way. I don't hate it.
Can I say something?
Go on.
I hate it.
Why?
I hate the idea of early chips. And the reason...
Why though? That makes no sense. Why?
What do you mean?
Go on. Go on.
The reason for it is because I don't think we have any clarity. And I don't think going into game week one, we're going to be that clear on what starting 11s look like.
No. Okay.
So late. We're not going
to... Oh, your microphone's gone. Has your cable come out?
Nope.
Give the cable a little wiggle.
Well,
there we go. That'll come on in a minute.
I'll blame your table.
Good job with me waffling for most of the time. There we go. I think that's back on. Let us know if that's all right, guys.
So I hate it because I don't think that going into game week one, we're going to have much knowledge of like fitness and all of that. And we have to lock in a team, right? So we're going to be taking some punts on players, and we still will see rotation, I think, from some of the big players ahead that went a long way in the World Cup. We've got 9 new managers who are still going to be learning a lot about their teams, and they're not going to have learnt so much in pre-season because half their players are still away.
Mm.
So they're going to be learning that early on. I think we'll see rotation as a result of that. We'll see changes in formations. I don't think we'll have a clear indication of which of the teams to actually target. I think Coventry and Hull playing each other in game week 2 is problematic. They played out 2 nil-nil draws in the Championship last year. I don't think that they... will do the same thing in the Premier League, because I think both of them will look at that and go, we have to beat the other newly promoted teams if we want to stay alive. So I think that game is difficult to read and difficult to call. I don't see it.
I'd agree with you on that. I think a lot of people that are looking at the bench boost one or two, maybe let's say bench boost two, and are targeting treble Coventry defence against Hull.
Yeah, don't see it.
That is fraught with risk, isn't it?
I don't see it.
I mean, can you sit here and legit... I'm expecting, and we've got Danny in the chat, and... Danny, we would love for you to be our kind of resident Hull fan, right? I noticed you're doing. I heard you did some stuff with ours on Black Box, and doing stuff with James on Planet as well. So Danny is our resident Hull fan, and I think even he would admit, right? It's going to be tough for them this year. No doubt, it's going to be tough for them, right? And same with Ipswich, right? We'll talk about the three that are coming up in just a second. But to go into, you know, to play the bench boost on the back of I'm going all in on Coventry. If it was like City, you'd be like, okay.
It.
But it's like all in on Coventry.
I honestly think that going all in on one newly promoted side to beat another one when they didn't do it twice last season, and those clubs will look at the games against. We saw it last year. The newly promoted sides last year, it was carnage when they played each other.
Yeah.
So I don't think I can call that.
Okay.
So for me, I don't disagree on the early wild card. I think the early wild card will
Could be
a thing.
Yeah,
I think
okay.
It will be a thing. I think come game week 3, game week 4, then it will be wild card season. And I am not keen to play a bench boost when I am not confident that every player actually starts.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm not sold. I can see why people are thinking about it. I am thinking about it. But I'm not by any stretch of imagination locked in, right? Yeah. And certainly not, you know. Oh, I must go treble Coventry because I got Hull at home in game week 2. That's just
I'd rather wild card and then bench boost after.
Yeah, maybe.
Like we would in the second half of the season.
Maybe. All right, let's have a look at some of these players. Who are the players that are being picked by people? What does the template look like? We'll come back to goalkeepers and defenders in a minute, but I want to go... Let's just go jumping in, right? Let's go jumping into midfielders. Bruno's there. right? Nearly half the game I've got Bruno.
You should have
right?
put the other screen up in the...
Which?
Rather than having it in that mode, go into statistics and sort by most owned, and then you get them players in order, not in defence, goalkeeper and midfield. You just get them in rank order.
I'll do that. And actually, what I should do, what we should do this season, is do a lot more like scout stuff, like windows from scout rather than from the official site, maybe.
Well,
I don't know.
Scout is, you know, top quality.
But anyway, I've done this now.
The general manager. You can change it. Just go on the website. Change the page.
I want to change it now. I've already had microphones fail twice.
Nah,
let's not have this as well.
Right.
So Bruno's in there. Nearly half the game with Bruno in at 12 million. Anything to say about that other than I think you've probably got to have him, haven't you?
Fixtures are great. They sit third on the fixture ticker.
You ain't going against 48.7% Bruno, are you? You're just not.
I did a live stream with Chai this morning on Scout.
Oh, very good.
Go
yeah.
watch it. Head over to Scout. Not now. Go after this. watch that. And he has not got Bruno. And I said to him, I think it's a massive risk.
Interesting. Yeah.
I mean, going without Bruno is a massive risk. In fact, I'm thinking I probably want to double up on the Manchester United attack and have somebody alongside Bruno. Because I think the thing for me is, we might not know exactly what Carrick's going to do in terms of like Ahmad and Sesko, whether Cunha's going to play up top, whether he's actually going to play a proper number nine. There might be some rotation around the Abomo and Cunha and all of those positions. But the one thing we do know for absolute certainty is that Bruno Fernandes' name is the first name on his team sheet every single week, unless he's injured.
Yeah.
So Bruno Fernandes will start. He will be on set pieces. He will be on penalties. He will be picking up some DEFCON points. He will be attacking. And for me, it just feels like not picking Bruno has got me with João Pedro last season written all over it.
Yeah, and you can see there at the bottom, towards the bottom of the screen there, Mbeumo in at 8 million, Cunha in at 8 million. Near enough the same in terms of selection as well. And Mbeumo slightly ahead with 15.5%, Cunha 14.5%. If you were to pick one of those two, maybe a bit of recency bias because of Mbeumo's double the other night against, would they play Atletico, didn't they, in a friendly?
They did, yeah,
I don't know if you saw the highlights, but one was a penalty. All right, took it well, right? But the second was a bit of a, and again, he's in the right areas and he, you know, you've got to be there to score it. I understand all of that. But it was a bit of a kind of a deflection. It wasn't a particularly well-taken goal. It's sort of a bit lucky goal. So looking at those two goals, they didn't sort of scream to me, I must get Mbeumo. But if you were to look at one of those two, which one would you probably go for?
Well, I think Cunha is more risky in terms of minutes in the early part of the season. Potentially, if Sesko's fit and available, could we see some rotation there? Where does he play? Does he play nine? Does he play out wide? What's he doing with those positions? He's got Dorgu and Ahmad and all of those players to keep fit as well.
Yeah.
But I do like Cunha. I like Cunha's attacking threat. And the other thing, again, we have to be mindful of is that obviously we're talking about Mbeumo doing so well in that game the other night in terms of points that he would have got if it was an FPL game. But Cunha wasn't there, nor was Bruno. They haven't returned yet. They're back this week. So I think I can see why people have gone to Mbeumo as a result of that game. For me, I'll edge into the Cunha camp of the two of them right now, though.
All right. Well, let's see why people are hot on Manchester United. So Manchester United fixtures are...
There's the QR code.
There's the QR code. Quite small, this, on my screen. I'm going to have to zoom in a little bit. So Manchester United, according to the Fantasy Football Scout fixture difficulty rating ticker, which is available on the Fantasy Football Scout website.
It's had an upgrade as well.
I can see that. There's logos and stuff now.
There's logos.
Like it.
You can also... So this is just sorted by traditional difficulty. So this is how you would... it would look last season. One of the things I asked Reese to do this pre-season was to make me another version of the fixture ticker, which takes into account not just how good you are in home and away fixtures, but also how good your opponent is in home and away fixtures.
Nice. Okay.
So there is another view of this where when Manchester United play Hull at home, it takes into account how good are Manchester United at home, but also how good are Hull away.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this just does the traditional one. But
okay.
This is good for him.
Ben Allam is in the chat. He says, is Scout any good? Well, listen, mate, we will let you make your own mind up, but trust me, I couldn't play FPL. I feel like I couldn't play FPL without Scout, right? And we use a lot of Scout data and the fixture difficulty rating and all that. A lot of 90% of the stuff you see here on the FPL Family live stream is powered by Fantasy Football Scout. I've been using them. I've been playing FPL for 15, 16 years. And for about 14 of those, I've used Fantasy Football Scout. It's a complete go-to for me. But check them out.
For transparency, I do work there. So
that's true. Yeah, we should say that.
Just to be completely transparent, I am the general manager at Fantasy Football Scouts, so I do love it. What I will say is that we both used it long time before we were associated with them. And
oh, yeah.
We are very picky about who we associate with, as you guys know. I don't pick companies just off the bat. I will only work with people I really genuinely see the value in. And Scout has always been a company that I think the tools and stuff are brilliant. And what you're going to get this season for your membership, already we've had an update, the tickers there, the team raters there, all of that good stuff. This season will be game-changing in terms of the new stuff that we're bringing. Some of it's coming after the season starts, but it's well nice. Worth it. Even nice. If you just want to come and do a month's trial, come and sign up for a month and then go for an annual after that. It's cheaper to go for an annual now, but entirely up to you how you want to pay it.
All right, so here's the reason United, people like United, right? Hull and Ipswich up first. I mean, bloody hell. Hull and Ipswich, game week one, game week two. Everton, then it is... Manchester Derby, and then God, it is small, and then Fulham.
I should have made it bigger for you. Sorry.
Yeah, it's tough. And actually, it's hard to see the logos. Like, it's easier if it just says the letters.
It back. We can change it back to the letters.
Might change it back.
I just wanted to show it.
It's good. I like it. I just wonder whether again mobile optimized. I don't know.
That's right. I can change it.
So that's why. So that's why United are popular. Talk to me about those first two games as well. Hull and Ipswich. Do you see of the three teams that are coming up? Because I definitely do. You see those two, and again, sorry, Danny, as the kind of whipping boys of potential whipping boys of this season.
Ipswich in that bracket as well.
Yeah, Hull and Ipswich is what I'm saying. That's the first two games for United. I'm not. No, I'm going to say they will be better. I can talk through my reasoning, but I think those Hull and Ipswich in particular. I mean, Hull. They did a great bit on Black Box, actually. If you haven't checked out Az and the guys over at FPL Black Box, go check them out after the live stream. They did a video recently. It was Andy and it was Luke and Az did it together. I can't remember which of the three of them did some homework on Hull. But whoever it was talking about the fact that actually when you look at some of the stats from last season in the Championship for Hull, bit bloody lucky to be in the Premier League, as well as all the stuff that went along in the playoffs, right? You know, they're lucky to be through the playoffs. But when you look at some of the stats, they were like 19th or 20th in the league for shots on target, yet 5th overall for goals scored. So there's a massive XG overperformance there. And they were like 19th or 20th in the league for like pass completion rate as well. So it's like...
The Championship was a weird beast last year as well.
Yeah, like I get it.
Coventry were good for chunks of it, but it was a weird... It was a very, very weird league last year. I agree with you. In terms of the teams to target, obviously we've lost some of the teams that we would have targeted last season. And I think the other teams that we would have traditionally targeted last season, my lot, should improve based on what they've done in the transfer window. So sadly, I do think Hull and Ipswich, and I put Coventry down there because it's very different. What they're going to come up against in the Premier League is very, very different.
Danny's in the chat. Didn't concede a goal in the playoffs. Mate, we need to get this out early doors. Matt, I'll apologise in advance for everything I say about Hull this season. I hope we're all wrong about Hull, right? I think it'd be a really hard season for them, right? You've got to be happy as a fan that you're in the Premier League. It'd be a tough season. Let's not get a beat around the bush.
Should we upset some other fans rather than just Danny?
I don't want to keep that. But they will have a tough season. So you know, if we do... Yeah, sorry, Danny. If we do go a little bit heavy on Hull and call them whipping boys and things like that, mate, it's nothing like... It is what it is. It'll be tough.
I don't think it's just Hull and Ipswich, though. Like, I put Newcastle in that bracket.
Well, really?
Yeah. I think there is a high chance, that Newcastle get relegated this season.
Wow. Oh, my God. Here we go. Pre-season prediction live stream coming up in a few weeks.
I'll relegate Newcastle.
Well, you relegated Brentford last season. How did that go?
I don't think they might struggle as well this year. But I think Manchester United's start to the season is, going back to them, is very, very strong.
Yeah, yeah.
The first five game weeks are great. Even the Manchester Derby, like, that's still a decent fixture for them in terms of, like, pride and, you know, rivalry and all that jazz. Like, so for me, I've got Bruno, and we'll see my draft later. And I'm really seriously thinking about what do I do in terms of who do I go with next? Do I go with a Shaw or a Maguire or a Lemons in goal to get a defensive option because Hull and Coventry to start off? Or Hull and Ipswich to start off, or do I look at another attacking player, or do I do both of those things and treble up on Manchester United?
All right.
So yeah, I can see why Bruno and why Cunha and why Mbeumo are becoming these guys are popular, relevant. Yeah.
Rodgers also in the template, coming in at 7.5, which I have to say is probably 0.5, maybe a million less than I thought he might.
He was poor last year, Lee.
Yeah, there is a bit of that. There is a bit of that. Well, he had patches, wasn't he? Same as Villa. They had a poor patch to start with. And
if you recall, I owned Rodgers from January through to pretty much the end of the season.
Yeah.
And I think there were about two games in there where he returned.
So what are you making of, like, of Chelsea just generally then, right? So you've got Xabi Alonso coming in. They're making signing after signing after signing. I'm interested in your thoughts on Lacroix as well, because if he plays the back three, as I think we all think that he might, with Lacroix in the middle, he probably becomes a bit of a DEFCON monster. Probably
he was anyway.
Will be Palace, yeah. Really. Probably will be almost certainly will be a threat from set pieces.
Yeah.
Then they're making signings like Welbeck and Henderson, which for me are quite
leaderships, older,
changing room oriented. If you know what correct. I mean, I think Welbeck absolutely can be a backup to João Pedro. No question about that. Is Henderson going to get tons of game time ahead of the likes of Enzo if he's still there and Caicedo? And probably not, but
Henderson's
like
Henderson's there for the same reason he went to the World Cup with England.
Yeah. And that's it, right? So I think what I'm trying to say is that Alonso has identified that there's a gap in the changing room for winners, for leadership. And he's gone out and got Welbeck. He's gone out and got Henderson to fill that gap and to mentor some of these younger players. And you saw how Henderson was clearly mentoring even players like Drew Bellingham and Morgan Rodgers at the World Cup. Despite Palmer not being there, I think these players will come into our thinking at some stage. I'm probably, and we'll talk about teams in a minute, I'm probably just going with João Pedro to start with. But I can totally see why people are looking at Rodgers and Palmer as well.
The fixtures
totally
are a bit mixed for Chelsea to start the season.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This could go one of two ways, right? New manager, new style, because quite frankly, it was a disaster for them the second half of the season under What's-His-Face. It didn't go well. And Palmer had a really poor season last year through just not being great and also a lot of injuries that kept him out. And he didn't really get a run.
Has he been any good for about 18 months, Palmer?
That's why he didn't go to the World Cup.
This is the thing, isn't it? It's like,
so you've got Palmer who's been out of form. You've got João Pedro who was good last season. Really good last season.
Mm.
They've lost Cucurella. That's big in my opinion.
It is.
That's big.
You've lost
a big player. Enzo Fernandez is being linked with room moves away. Let's see if anything comes of that. We've got Palmer and Morgan Rodgers, who are best mates, linking up. The idea of that as a front three, Rodgers, Palmer and João Pedro, that looks great.
I could just see them doing the bloody cold celebration together, and I've got neither Palmer or Rodgers. It's going to be annoying, isn't it? You can already see it.
They will be annoying. For sure they will. I'm expecting good things for Chelsea. Well, one thing I would say is I watched the game yesterday when Spurs played Chelsea.
Yeah.
In a pre-season friendly. I wasn't very impressed by Chelsea. And they played pretty much a full strength.
It's early.
Team.
You can't read that much into it.
To be fair, it was their first game of pre-season and all that, blah, 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 blah. Fine.
Yeah.
You can't read a lot into it, but it was pretty much full strength. It was a slow game. Pre-seasons are always slow anyway. Spurs have got a lot more minutes in their legs over the last few weeks than they have. But you did start, there were moments in that game where you were starting to see how it might look.
Yeah.
And now obviously they're still without players. They're still without Morgan Rodgers, though. You know, they've been away. But one thing you did see is that Cole Palmer and João Pedro have had a lovely summer off. Mm. They look fit and ready to go. Unlike last year when Cole Palmer was knackered from the World Cup.
Yeah.
Club World Cup. So I don't have either of them at the moment.
All right.
But I don't know if just João Pedro is enough. The fixtures, I think, suggest it is. But I'm not sure.
All right. Well, let's have a look at the fixture ticker. If I can squint again, I'll try and find Chelsea.
Would you like me to get you a bigger one on my phone?
No, it's all right. I just can't find it. Fulham, Brighton.
Oh, Leeds, Liverpool scored.
Arsenal, Hull, and what looks like Brentford there in the first five. So, yeah, kind of mixed. Yes, Liverpool scored again, which is good. Looks like it's Wirtz.
It is, with scored. A Frimpong assist.
So we'll talk about that in just a second. I do want to get onto our teams. I feel like we're labouring this a little bit. We'll get onto our teams in just a second. Let me go back to this one. let's move on from midfielders, because we're almost kind of straying into, we've got a slide on, you know, not just our teams, but kind of other thoughts. And I think the whole kind of Chelsea conversation is in there. So I want to give that a bit of airtime as well. Haaland, João Pedro, 75%, 54%. They look pretty locked in most teams, no?
Chelsea are sixth when you sort the fixture okay. ticker by projected goals okay. to start the season. So, yeah, I think João Pedro feels locked.
Yeah.
I mean, Haaland's Haaland.
Brobby in at 21%, 6 million. I think that, and again, we'll get, let's not go into it too much now, but that 6 million bracket is going to be, I think, quite keenly contested between two or three or four different players, don't you?
I think you definitely want somebody in that bracket. Because I'm not, I think that is one of those brackets that's really hard to call which one it's going to be. So you want sure. somebody there that you can move between. I don't know about Robbie.
No, okay. Okay. I think it's fixtures based, right? Sunderland fixtures are pretty good, but we'll talk about yeah. the 6 million bracket in just a second. Then in the defence, we've got Gabriel in at 8 million and in a quarter of teams, 25.7%. Luke Shaw next in at 24.4%. Then Gehi, Pedro Porro and O'Reilly. I have to say, and I'll talk about, obviously we'll do our teams in a bit, but I've got Luke Shaw. So I have got Luke Shaw in my team. I'm not 100% sold on him, by the way, but given that he played, I think, more or less most, if not all minutes last season, I think he looks pretty locked in that Man United first 11. And of course, we said already about Man United's first two in particular, but the first five games look pretty good. I don't have any Man City defenders. I don't have Gehi. I don't have O'Reilly. I don't even have Guardiola either. I haven't got Porro. At the minute, I haven't got an Arsenal defender. That will change, but I'm, at the minute, kind of hoping that that Konsa move is happening, but it doesn't look like it will at the moment. So I'm feeling a little bit... My midfield and my forward line, we'll talk about teams, I'm pretty happy with, but at the back, I don't feel like I've made all the decisions yet. There's work to do.
Yeah, it's weird, because when we look at mine in a minute, I've gone from having very little money invested in my back line to suddenly I feel like I've invested too much money in my back line again. And I can't quite get that balance right,
okay.
because I'm struggling with the teams that I think I want to invest in from a clean sheet percentage chance in the early weeks of the season. All are like 5.5, 6 million defenders. And then at that point, you're struggling because then you're like, well, I've got to take some money out of the midfield and I'm not loving having to do that.
Mosquera in at 17, obviously the Saliba injury. I'm pretty sure, like, the Saliba injury, back injury, is pretty serious. And I think it got announced a couple of days before FPL went live. I'm convinced Mosquera was 5. Right, or maybe even 4 or 5, and they bumped him up a little bit because of that Saliba injury.
All the other Arsenal defenders are 5.5, aren't they?
Yeah,
like,
I suppose
Ben
so.
White there, they've got Calafiori there, they've got, and I think that's the problem, isn't it? Is I'm looking at the Arsenal defence, and obviously Gabriel's the obvious choice, but he's so expensive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then you're kind of picking one of the others.
Yeah.
It's tough. I do hope Konsa moves, because if Konsa moves, it makes it easy.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, the template is the template. It's starting to form. I feel like Haaland, João Pedro and a 6 million forward is starting to feel quite template. Let's talk about your team then. So here's you and your team right now. For the podcast listeners, let me read it out. It has 0.5 in the bank, by the way. 0.5 in the bank for
always
this team.
Always start the season with a bit in the bank.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in that as well. On my team, I've got 0 at the moment. But I'm a big believer on it. 0.5 million in the bank for your team. Kinski in goal right now. As usual, as we found out last season, we've got some interesting images here. Mosquera looking a lot like... That looks like Senesi.
Oh, have I not changed them all?
Mosquera at the back with Vardiol and Xhaka. And then you've got Bruno, Foden, Gross and Szoboszlai in midfield. Solanke, Haaland and João Pedro up front. Rushworth as your sub-goalkeeper. Van Hecker and then Grimes and then Giles on the bench. Talk us through it. What are we saying? I'm interested in the Liverpool pick. Xhaka and Szoboszlai. Tell me about that.
I definitely want Szoboszlai.
You definitely want Szoboszlai. Okay.
I feel like I've become Dom Szoboszlai's biggest fan outside his mum.
Okay.
I don't really know what happened. I think it was chunks of last season I owned him.
Move your microphone up a little bit. You're a bit quiet compared to me. Probably I'm shouting, but...
Well, that is because my mic isn't fully...
Okay, that might, be that might have
been turned down a little bit. I can't decide at times whether I think spending 0.5 on Verts is better, because we've kind of heard from Iraola, which seems all weird talking about him as a Liverpool manager still.
Yeah.
But we've kind of heard from him that he plans to play Wirtz in the 10. So if he's planning to play Wirtz in the 10, he's got that more attacking position. What does that mean for Szoboszlai? Do we see him in the 8? Is he a little bit less forthcoming with the attacking threat? But then we see him in training videos doing a load of set piece stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of liking him from that perspective. And I think at 7 million, he just feels like really good value for money. So I like Szoboszlai. The Xhaka pick, I've got the extra 0.5.
Yeah.
He can be Kerkez easily. Kerkez is the sensible pick here. Would I like Virgil? Yes, but he's 6.5. It's a lot.
I'm not sure you can say any Liverpool defence is a sensible pick. Of them, I mean, yeah, I think Kerkez is probably the one to go for if you want to go for it. Right? So. We've got so many issues still at the back, though.
I can see me, when I said before, my defence is my, I feel like, is my issue here.
Yeah.
Because I've got, obviously, Mascara's in at 5.5. I am believing the pillar hype with Gvardiol. So he's in at 5.5 as well. We've got Xhaka in at 5. We've got Van Hecker in at 5. And then we've got Giles, who's my cheap option. My preference here is to lose one of these fives and go for a 4.5. I've had Tyreek Mitchell for most of pre-season.
Right.
I am thinking about not starting with Xhaka or a Liverpool defender full stop, and instead saving 0.5, going for a Mitchell, or even dropping down and having two, like getting Diop, so I have my rotation between Diop and it's better with a commentary player, but Diop and Thomas or Hughes or whatever you want to do it.
Okay.
And then doing that would allow me to upgrade my fifth midfielder. I actually don't mind the Grimes picking the fifth midfield, but Liverpool, maybe that's the defence I might not go with.
Okay.
But again, if Konsa makes the move, I've suddenly got an extra million over Mosquera anyway. So then do I need to make that sacrifice? I think in that case, I would just go for Kerkez over Xhaka.
Yeah. For its worth, I do think there's some Liverpool picks in there. Up until about 2 or 3 days ago, I was absolutely set on Dom Szoboszlai.
Yeah.
I'm not so set on him anymore.
Because of Wirtz.
I'm leaning towards Wirtz, yeah, but I'll talk about that in just a second.
I feel like we've just been bitten by Wirtz, and maybe I'm scared of him now.
Yeah, but you can't imagine how different the intensity is in a lot of the training videos and the stuff that we're seeing, right?
No, if
you go back into last season as well, there was a period of time when Salah was injured. And if you remember, we sat here on a Sunday night and we said, oh, Wirtz has actually hit a bit of purple patch in form. And that's I described it as big dog energy, if you remember that from last season.
I do remember you saying that.
I think some of the... And look, it's curated, right? It's Liverpool training videos. I understand. I'm
buying the hype.
Buying the hype. But there is definitely some ex-big dog energy around Wirtz right now.
You can't call it ex-big dog energy.
He also looks like he's been on the weights a little bit. He looks like he's put on a bit as well, which he probably needed, right? If you look at where he was 12 months ago and you look at his physique now, he looks stronger, leaner.
Knows a bit more about the Premier League as well, right?
Of course knows a bit more about the Premier League. If you look at the way that we've been training as well, right, where there was a drill, and I saw a video of a drill, while we're on a pre-season tour in the US right now, but there's a drill where some of the midfielders are running into the box and finishing, right? The person playing the ball in is Isak. Now, what does that tell you? That says to me, well, Iraola is going to be using Isak, I think, in a very Evan Nilsson, maybe, in a kind of Evan Nilsson kind of way. Now, there's more to Isak's game than Evan Nilsson's game, in my opinion, if we look at Isak a couple of years ago. I think there's an element of Isak, you know, pulling defenders around, laying it off to the box, crashing eights and tens. And he's already, Iraola, talked about how he expects Wirtz to be in the 10, in and around Isak, box crashing, and I think that we will get as much creativity between Isak creating for Wirtz as we do the other way around.
So in this instance then, given that they are 7 and 7.5,
yeah,
should we not, given Liverpool's fixtures to start the season, and given the fact that Dom Szoboszlai had no World Cup and Wirtz went out early in the World Cup,
yeah,
should we not be talking about doubling up?
No, I think you've got to pick one. And by the way, I still think Dominic Szoboszlai is a great and like an awesome pick in FPL, right? Because even if Wirtz is in the 10 and Szoboszlai does sit a little bit back in a double pivot, and from what I'm hearing in the chat, that sounds like what's happening tonight against Leeds. He's a little bit deeper stuff, right? And a little bit deeper. Well, notice where he's getting his points from. It's from a corner, right? So if Szoboszlai is sitting a little bit deeper, what does that mean? Okay, he might not be the one box crashing quite as much as a Wirtz might be. But if he's on corners, he's going to regularly shithouse points. We saw this in FPL last season.
Well, yeah, we did.
With the likes of Declan Rice, right? Declan Rice scored a couple of worldies. He got a few goals. He ticked over. But where did his FPL points come? Like DEFCON monster, taking corners. So Szoboszlai, if he sits in that deeper pivot, not only is he going to pick up, you know, regular assists from corners, he's also going to pick up DEFCON. Mm. And we saw when he played right back and when he played a bit deeper last season, he is a DEFCON monster because he runs, his engine is unbelievable. Mm. So don't for a minute think that I'm suggesting Wirtz is a better pick than Szoboszlai. I'm not. I'm saying I think and I hope as a Liverpool fan, with as much bias as you come to expect here at FPL Family, that they are both good FPL picks, but they will get their points in different ways. There will be a game early season where if you own Wirtz, you are going to be really pissed off because he's going to have an amazing game. Sky are going to give him man of the match. He's going to be absolutely awesome and he's going to get 3 points in a game where Dominic Szoboszlai gets a double-digit haul and gets 2 assists from corners.
Yeah.
And DEFCON. It will happen. I'm telling you it will happen. So whether you want to go for Szoboszlai or whether you want to go for Wirtz, what I'm saying is, based on what I'm seeing in pre-season, both are going to be good picks. Probably for 0.5 less and for the sort of routes to points that you will just get because he takes corners and DEFCONs. Mm. Szoboszlai is a good pick. I'm probably feeling a bit more Wirtz right now here tonight because I've been watching some training videos where he looks like big dog energy.
I don't dislike the Wirtz pick at all. I don't dislike
it. Me neither.
It.
At 7.5, he's a great pick.
Because I've been listening to Iriola talk about I want to play him in the 10, but that I can't quite get over Szoboszlai at 7 million, even in the 8, like you say. I just think that gives him bigger routes to points. He's still got the set piece threat where he can easily pick up points.
Also, there's some comments in the chat. I do think he'd be the penalty taker after... I think it'd be Isak. And if Isak's not on the pitch, I think it'd be Dom.
It'd be Szoboszlai, yeah.
I think so. Maka will have something to say about that, but I do think it will be Dom Szoboszlai.
So the Liverpool defender position is up for grabs.
Yeah. Xhaka, like him at 5 then?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I wanted two Liverpool players in. I wanted 0.5 in the bank. It's been Kirk as I've moved to Xhaka. I don't like starting the season without money in the bank. It scares me. So that's why we are where we are with that.
I think Xhaka is going to start. If you said to me now, who's going to start game week one? I think it'd be Virgil and Xhaka. Xhaka has naturally played a lot more of his career on the left-hand side of centre-back.
Virgil is.
In my opinion, there's no doubt in my mind that Xhaka is the long-term heir to the Virgil van Dijk throne.
Okay.
But the problem we've got is, we haven't really got anybody that can play right centre-back because Konate's left. Gomez is injured. Shock. Leone, I think he is naturally a right centre-back, Leone.
I don't think he's back yet, though, is he?
I don't think so. And certainly, I mean, he had that horrendous ACL injury, didn't he, last season? And I haven't seen him yet on the pitch, sort of like running with any sort of intent. So
not on the bench.
Let's assume that Leone's not kind of available game week one. And then obviously right back is a bit of a problem as well. We've got Frimpong there. Bradley's still injured. Gomez, who can play there, injured. Wataru Endo can play there, in emergencies, but he's not a pick.
We don't want that.
So all of that goes to say, I don't think Liverpool. I'm not going to go near Liverpool defence. Even Xhaka at 5 million, and I can see a narrative early on, a few weeks in, where people go, "Who is this Xhaka guy? He makes too many mistakes. He's rubbish at Liverpool. What's going on?" And it'll be because they don't know that that's not his natural position. He'll be playing right centre-half. Virgil's immovable, right? He will be left centre-half.
Immovable object, yeah.
And then it'll be Xhaka, out of necessity, will have to play right centre-back. And that will be uncomfortable for him.
Yeah.
And because of that, and because we ain't got a natural right-back, don't give me that Frimpong's a natural right-back. He's not.
Who plays in Salah's position? Because I had Frimpong playing there.
I don't know. I was hoping we were going to sign Yann Diamande, but that's not happening. Mm. I think Barkala can play there. And Iriola's already spoken about, you know, he likes wingers that can play both sides. I think Barkala might actually start there, to be honest with you. But Chiesa can play there. Frimpong can play there.
Oh, I forgot about Chiesa. Okay.
I'm not going to invest in Liverpool defence. I'm just not going to do it.
Well, okay, so Liverpool for me are still a bit of an anomaly, apart from Dom Szoboszlai, who I think is a lock. I have not made a single draft that has not had Dom Szoboszlai in.
Okay.
Alongside him, Pascal Gross has come in. And I was actually
just talk Pascal Gross, good one.
So I was just looking on the Scout app. Another plug for Scout.
Oh, by the way, Ben, who we mentioned before, who we were all talking about, we were trying to sell Scout to, just signed up to Fantasy Football Scout. So thank you, Ben.
Thank you, nice Ben. One, mate. I hope you love it. If you have any feedback, feel free to send me a...
go straight to the top.
Feel free to send an email to the support at Scout and they'll send it to me and just ask them to forward it to me. And I'll reply. On the new app, we've launched a new app this season. You won't be able to see it because it'll be too small. But one of the things that you can do from the front page, it has a stats leaders thing. And one of them is that it will tell you the players that have gone up and down the most in the last 24 hours.
Okay.
So Pascal Gross has gone up the second most in the last 24 hours in terms of ownership in the game. So... yeah. Only Mbeumo has gone up by more. And of course, we know that's because of what happened last night. You all know, I love Pascal Gross. And this one, remember, last season said he thought he was overrated. And he didn't understand the hype. But then...
did I say that?
Yeah, do you remember? You couldn't understand why I picked him.
Yeah.
And then he was great for me in the second half of last season.
Yeah, I was wrong about him, no doubt. Now, shock, I don't get everything right in FPL.
Now, the reason I love him this year... is because he's 5.5, so nice and cheap. Danny Welbeck's exit, stage right, gone off to Chelsea. Who's on penalties now? Pascal Gross.
Mm.
Who's on set pieces? Pascal Gross. Who was picking up the DEFCONs last season? Pascal Gross. I think he is low-key the best budget enabler in FPL this season.
I think I agree.
But? I'm waiting for a but.
I do like... so, at Brighton, I'm trying to pick right now between Gross and Gomez. I think Gomez is probably going to play most of the games from right wing. I think he's going to be their right winger of choice.
Yeah, I agree.
And I just think at 5 million, he looks really good. Now, I'm really interested, because we're going to spend a bit of time with Az and Yellen next week, aren't we? We're going down to Brighton to see them. I really want to pick Az's brains on the effect of Welbeck leaving Brighton, right? Because I think it leaves them without... first of all, taking a lot of goals out of that team. Yeah. Now, Reuter, I think, has already proved that he...
can?
No, I think he proved that he can't really play in that nine position. He's much better dropping deep and getting... I think if you were... as we're here right now, he'd say, no, I think Reuter has proved that he can't play that position. So Gross, yeah. I mean, who's getting on the end of his assists? Who's gonna? I think Gomez is definitely worth a shout. I don't know if I think I probably do prefer Gross and his route to points with 0.5 more. But is he the best budget enabler in the game? I don't know. I think it's a tough one.
I
like him as well.
The front three is changing all the time, except for Haaland and João Pedro. I'm learning my lesson. They're gonna stay. The Solanke pick.
Yeah.
I don't know about it.
Mm.
I don't know about it. Mm. And I sit here as a Dom Solanke fan because Richarlison has been far better in pre-season. There was a conversation early on in pre-season where basically Richarlison, I think, was basically told, your time is up.
Yeah.
And he apparently said, according to the Spurs journos, no, I want to stay and fight for my place in the team.
He's got to say that, though, hasn't he? He's got to.
Has he? Could leave.
What's the opposite? He's got to say, oh, yeah, I'm off.
Find a new club. And I don't think he would have that many problems finding a new club, to be honest. No, I don't think he would. Not necessarily in the Premier League, but I don't think he'd have too much trouble.
Okay.
But the point is that he's actually been pretty good in pre-season. So I don't know. I wanted a Spurs attacker. Yeah. I don't know who the best one is at the minute, because at the moment, Matheus Tell is playing really well in pre-season.
He's doing all right pre-season, yeah.
But will he actually start? Because we're being linked with a load of left-sided midfielders.
Yeah.
So, like, we're being linked with the likes of Rashford. We're being linked with a load of...
Cody Gakpo.
Yeah. Savinho. We're being linked with all these players for that position because we actually really only have him currently, unless you put Madders out there, but Madders is clearly better in the 10.
Yeah.
We've got Madders, who is being managed in terms of his minutes. He didn't play against Chelsea for that reason. He's apparently going to be available again when we get back to London on Wednesday. Same with Mateus Fernandes. You've got Tonali. You've got Kulusevski and Kudus both back in full training from Wednesday. That's interesting. I would expect them to both have very, very managed minutes to start the season, especially Kulusevski. Yeah. We're at like 450 days without football. Age, it is the second most games ever missed by a Premier League player.
Mad.
And I can't even remember who the first one was now, but it's madness. At one point, I genuinely thought he was never going to play football again.
Yeah.
But my point in all of this is that I can't be certain, even as a Spurs fan, I am not 100% sure who starts in game week.
Got one. A lot of options now, right?
Because we've got lots of, we've of now options. Got properly two players in every position.
Yeah.
So I'm not entirely sure
who
it is.
Kind of mad for a team not in Europe, isn't it?
But I wanted a Spurs player. And at most, they're around the 6 million mark.
Yeah,
so in my head, I thought, well, I have Solanke in this one. And because he seems to be the forward starting the games.
Yeah.
And then I'll move, at, depending on what we see from De Zerbi Spurs. And we're going to see Spurs. Yes, we are. Live in pre-season. So we'll go and see them play...
Hoffenheim.
Why did you say yippee like that?
No, I'm looking forward
You're
to it.
You're really looking forward to it. Don't be that.
Yeah.
We're all going to wear Spurs shirts, apart from Lee, who's going to wear a shirt that says odd one out. so we're going to go and watch them against Hoffenheim in a couple of Saturdays' time. And I'm excited for that because I do feel like that might give us a little bit of insight into what Spurs is going to look like in attack. Mm,
okay.
So yeah, that's why he's there. Rushworth should get his move to Coventry this week.
Okay.
Rotates nicely with Spurs. That's why he's there for Kinski's rotation. I'm quite happy with it.
Okay.
Do you want to look at what scouts say about it?
I want to see what the Fantasy Football Scout Rate My Team AI tool says about your team. Before we do that, Sam, we had a super chat from...
Oh, lovely.
I don't know how we're going to say this name. Rajlin, I think, is we're going to say this. Rajlin, thank you very much for the super chat. If Vinny Jr. joins Arsenal, what price... you think he's going to be, and will you pick him up? And he says also, Ngamoa, Liverpool's Rio Ngamoa, can play right wing and left wing. Don't disagree with you, Rajin, but definitely has played more left wing than he has played right wing, no doubt about it. I don't think we've got much choice, Sam. We've got not a lot of squad options, to be honest with you. Unlike you, with your two players per position, I'd be happy with just one.
Let's play a game of, if Vinny Jr. was priced at, would you buy him?
Go on then.
So if he comes in at 10, will you buy him?
No.
9.5.
Yeah.
9.5.
Probably. That would be the same as Saka, by the way. So it's like, you're going for a risk or you're going for not?
Oh, that's interesting. That is where I think they'll put him because of Saka. But isn't he worth more?
Why? Saka's on penalties? Unless he hands it to Vinny. It's possible.
Jokeres?
I think Saka's the penalty taker. We don't know, do we? But we think
they just seem to make it up as they go along.
By the way, I think it would. I don't think it'd be a good signing for them if they sign Vinny Jr. I just don't like. So Arsenal's whole club is built around a foundation of the team and the ethic of a team, right? And the way that they blend together and work together.
Yeah,
Vinny Jr. is all about Vinny Jr. Vinny Jr. is all about the Vinny Jr. show. And if he comes in there and it's just the Vinny Jr. show, I'm not sure that'll sit well with the ethic, the foundational ethic that Arteta has built that squad around.
Okay.
I don't think it'd be a good signing for him. Arsenal fans, you probably will disagree with me, and anyone that likes Vinny Jr. will disagree. Listen, he is a world-class player. And in the right team, like, he'd be great at Chelsea. Because Chelsea are all about individualism, aren't they? Chelsea are about Chelsea. Whereas Arsenal is about the team.
Bruno Guimaraes?
That's a very astute signing for Arsenal.
I agree.
That's a really good signing for Arsenal.
Would you buy Bruno G in an Arsenal shirt?
He's 6'5", isn't he?
Because I think it changes the game. Because I haven't got... That is the one thing about this. There's no Arsenal attack.
All right, let's see what the Scouts Rate My Team says about your team. So you took your screenshot, you put it into the Scout Fantasy Football Scout tool, and it says it gives you a rating of 82.
It doesn't love it.
It doesn't love it. And in particular, doesn't love your defence.
No.
Coming in at 60. And these are kind of scores out of 100, right?
They are. And there's two reasons for that. So I have had a team that was at 90. A bit more safe.
Yeah. Oh, there's no camera. You're right. Keep talking.
There's problems with this defence, which I know about. So Mascara in the system at the moment is likely to get, or we have told it that we think it will get, he'll get 63 minutes because there's still some risk of rotation in and around those positions.
Yeah.
So it's not loving that. Xhaka obviously is an anomaly to it because he's a new player into the game.
So it doesn't know.
We've not seen him in preseason, okay. So it hasn't got any history of him to learn.
Okay, fine.
So we're having to manually give him expected minutes. So again, his expected minutes at the moment are quite low.
Mm-hmm.
Gvardiol also has a bad history in terms of the amount of minutes he played last season. The tool doesn't understand he's a pillar.
You've got to teach the AI.
So the AI will...
This is the next level for this, isn't it? Picking up on comments from managers.
Yeah, so...
And adjusting the score
accordingly. So obviously things will change. And over pre-season, as we see, like... So Gvardiol played 45 minutes in the game that Man City played on Saturday. And then came off at half-time because they rotated the squad. So all of that stuff's feeding into the algorithm that it's using and it's feeding into Rate My Team. So as we see a bit more consistency and as Rate My Team gets its next update, I would expect that defensive number to rise. But at the moment, it's quite low on that basis. And also, if you look at my my bench defenders, Van Hecker looks like a decent option, but he's on the bench. So, you know, in terms of overall... I don't know where we are with that. So
okay.
I actually quite like it, despite the fact it's only rated at 82. Interestingly, I did another draft of this where I put Konsa in instead of Mascara.
Okay.
And it sends the rating right up. It likes Konsa at Aston Villa. So I wonder whether when Konsa does, if he does make that move...
Is that a minutes thing? Is it the tool likes minutes and Mascara didn't get minutes?
It wants you to make sure that you're picking a team that's not rotation-proof.
Okay.
And the problem with this is also we've got Foden in it. He's also rotation-proof.
Yeah. All right, let's have a look at my team for Game Week 1 and how I'm setting up.
Sorry, I chatted quite a lot then, didn't I?
No, it's fine. And as we said before, like I like to have a bit of money in the bank. I haven't. This is 0.0, but we are where we are. So for the podcasters, I've got Kinski in goal. I think he's going to be popular, Kinski, right?
Third mentioned most before, transferred in, by the way.
Luke Shaw at the back, Kirk Ayres, and then Konsa currently. Now that Konsa move, yeah, if he gets the move to Arsenal, then Shaw. Bruno in the middle with Saka, Szoboszlai and Gross, so quite similar to you. And then Haalandjar, Pedro, Solanke up front. I currently don't, when you pull this together, I actually don't have Solanke in my draft. I actually have Igor Jesus right now in that team as the 6 million.
I like him.
So
he scored 4 in 4.
Correct. He's having a good preseason. So imagine Solanke is Igor Jesus in here. Same price, right? And then the bench is my 4.0 keeper. Then Enzo Lefebvre, Diop, and then Thomas from Coventry. Listen, loads of lots of tinkering still to do here. Right? I think one of the talking points here is Saka coming in from the off. Now,
clearly, that's a risk given the World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And given that, you know, we saw at the World Cup his minutes being managed. Right, I don't think we saw a fully fit Saka at the World Cup. Right,
I agree.
The fact that Noni Madueke got so many minutes proved to me that Saka's probably carrying something. There's something there, right? And he's got this pre-season to fix that, whatever it might be. So I want to see a lot more of Arsenal in pre-season. I want to see Saka actually, you know, getting on the pitch, touching some grass. And if he does, then yeah, I'll go for him. If I don't go for Saka, then there's lots of other options I would go with.
Would you go
Palmer? No, I don't think I would.
Ooh.
I don't think I would. Okay. I'd probably go down, save a couple of million. I don't know who I'd go to, actually.
Bruno Guimarães?
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible. But again, I would still like to see him in that Arsenal setup,
Yeah.
Right? And 6-5 is not too bad a gamble, right? But so if I didn't go for Saka, I could then afford to maybe upgrade some stuff at the back, right? Some stuff I could afford to do there. I'm still not 100% sold on Gross over Gomez, as we mentioned before. Like, and that would be $500,000 saving. I'm still not convinced over Szoboszlai and Wirtz. I'm making that decision. So I've gone Szoboszlai and Gross right now. That could easily be...
Wirtz and Gomez.
Could be. Yeah, okay. Could be. But as I mentioned before, when we were talking about the template, I feel like this is quite template at the moment. I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah.
I can see me playing a bit more template than perhaps I have done in the previous seasons.
No money in the bank, though.
No money in the bank. No. I, by the way, I think Thomas from Coventry is a reasonable pick. Like, from what I understand, and somebody from a Coventry fan will tell me a lot more about Coventry than I know. But of the three teams that have come up, I think Coventry have got a much better chance of staying up than the other two. I think he looks pretty nailed on. Got some reasonable goal involvement last
well
season.
Rotates well with the op as well.
And yeah, so he's got a reasonable rotation, so yeah. I don't mind it. The Scout Rate My Team AI says...
Likes you
89. So it likes my team better than it does your team. But there we go. There's the Consa minutes, right, that you're missing with yep. Jacquet, right?
And also likes your Kirkes pick more than my Jacquet pick.
Yeah, it probably likes... maybe Saka in there. Enzo Lefay was all right for minutes as well, right? Yeah. So I think the way that I'm looking at this Fantasy Football Scout Rate My Tool is it gives me some indication as to, you know, there's a little bit of confirmation bias in there maybe, but it's kind of giving me an indication as to whether the models kind of like it or don't. And I'm using it not yeah. as a sort of hard and fast, oh, I'm trying to get this to 93, so that's my team. I'm using it as a sort of guide for my thinking as I'm sort of looking through the different options.
I think so. And when you get to this screen, if you are a Scout member, it has an option to manually adjust. So what you can do is you can click that and then you can change in and out players one by one. So if you think, well, I'm not really sure whether I should go with Szoboszlai or Wirtz, you can do the change and see what Rate My Team is suggesting for you. And that's kind of helpful in some ways because it's taking... all of that background data that we have on the players, and obviously we have like years and years and years and years and years of data right back to kind of 2012 or whenever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's using that information to help you feed the numbers that these players are generating. Now, of course, it's not guaranteed that they're going to get these, but it's taking the expected points that they will get and the expected minutes that they are expected to get
yeah.
and using it to create a number. So it's a really useful thing for just kind of going... am I barking up completely the wrong tree? Because one of the drafts I put in was very different and it was like, I hate this.
Yeah. yeah.
And the rating was really, really low. And then I'm like...
no yeah. camera again on these Rate My Teams.
What are you done here?
Sorry. Yeah. Keep
don't
talking.
Worry.
Keep
don't talking. Worry. So I think that's where I find it really useful. And obviously it brings in suggestions for transfers that you might want to make as well. And all of that good stuff. So yeah, even if you don't want to sign up as a paid Scout member, if you go over to Scout, you can do okay. it completely for free and it will give you an overall rating for your team.
Yeah, some people in chat are saying, well, it's just you can drop Saka to Foden, right? We talked about Foden being a pillar. I mean, yeah, that's a 2.5 million savings.
It's a
lot you can do with that. Yeah, there's a lot you can do with that. All right, let's finish up, Sam, by just talking about some of the other stuff that is on our minds. And I'm hoping that I've got sorted the camera out for this one as well. Again, I haven't. There we go. I'm going to add it in. Game week one pros and cons. Here's some other thoughts, right? Just some other... and then we've discussed a lot of this stuff already, right? So let's not go on too much about it. Some of the stuff that's in my head. Wirtz in the 10, we've discussed, right? We discussed about Wirtz versus Szoboszlai. I'm super keen. I want to watch these Liverpool highlights against Leeds tonight. I want to see, you know, what type of goal Wirtz scored tonight. I want to see whether he's kind of box crashing or in what way did he get points.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you can't look past the fact that even in that pivot, Szoboszlai gets an assist from a corner. It will just happen. He takes the corners. That's why we love the set piece takers in FPL, because they just get assists for taking corners. It's mad. I've talked about Foden and Vardy being the pillars. I've got Haaland, who's the other pillar. I don't have the other two.
House will fall down if you don't have all three pillars.
Should I be going for like one, at least one of those guys? What do I do about Arsenal defence if Konsa doesn't move? Well, I think it probably forces my hand to do Saka to Foden and then get somebody. Right? Yep. Maybe a Mosquera. So maybe I've got to do Konsa to Mosquera or something like that. And then again, I've talked about Hull and Ipswich being the whipping boys. I genuinely do think that is going to be the case. Hull probably more so than Ipswich. I think Coventry will be all right. Thoughts in your head, other things that you're thinking. Arsenal attacker.
Yeah,
don't have
one.
Arsenal attacker in your team right now,
don't
right?
Don't like that either. I think ideally, in an ideal world, like I can see the traditional big six doing quite well this year. So Liverpool attack, Man City attack, Manchester United attack. Chelsea attack, Spurs attack. I've missed one and I can't think who it is. Liverpool, just say Liverpool. All of those, the traditional big six, I would like to have them represented across that front line.
Mm.
And at the moment, I don't have a Chelsea attacker outside of João Pedro. Would I like a double up? Maybe. And I do not have an Arsenal attacker full stop. Getting Saka's hard. It's going to make a big change yeah. to the way that my structure is. And I don't necessarily want to go there early because of what we saw at the World Cup. If Bruno Guimarães becomes an Arsenal player, which it seems like he's going to imminently, I will be very tempted to go with him at 6.5.
But are you tempted because that's cheap coverage?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I haven't been tempted by Odegaard at all.
No,
and
okay,
he would be cheap coverage as well. So I think I'm tempted because Bruno Guimarães at Newcastle was a great option in terms of all of the stuff that we've talked about tonight. So I will be tempted to find a way to get invested in Arsenal. I can't remember what the other ones I had on my list were, Lee.
Was it Chelsea United? Midfielder? Discuss that.
Well, Morgan Rogers was in one of my early drafts. I don't know how I feel about that. Xabi was talking about how everyone needs to come back fully fit and ready to go.
Okay,
great. I think he probably will. But does that mean he starts game week one? Can't really justify the expense on Palmer because I don't know if I trust him despite the fact he's on penalties. So I am pondering on, is it a João Pedro and Morgan Rogers combination, or do I just start with João Pedro and then move to Morgan Rogers a few weeks down the line? I think that's what I'm leaning, but that is on my mind.
And then Kirkus instead of Xhaka, we've discussed, haven't we? The Cunha and Bremo. And you've put / Sesko. Is he really in your thinking?
Yeah. So I've had a couple of drafts that has got Sesko in
there. Wow. All right. Interesting.
I am really...
Is that a fixtures thing?
It's a fixtures thing.
Yeah, okay.
I would like to double up on Manchester United's attack. And the problem is I don't think I'm going to have any clarity as to who's going to start and where they're going to start. Because by the time they all get back this week, they're then going to have managed minutes through the rest of pre-season. So we're going to see a lot of rotation. I think that will rule out Sesko and probably rule in one of the other two. But Sesko's really good value. And so if he does start as Manchester United's number nine...
Yeah, it's a risk too far for me. I don't think I'd go Sesko.
I think it's going to be a risk too far for me as well. Yeah. But it does feel nice.
Okay, the chat's saying Bruno G is 7, by the way, not 6.5. Keep saying 6.5, but yeah, you guys are right, he's 7. Money out of defence to upgrade Grimes, you've discussed. And then the last talking point, let's finish on this one, Crystal Palace. What are you saying about Crystal Palace then?
Like the fixtures.
All right.
Like the new manager.
Okay, say more.
I like him. I did a bit of research about him. And I actually think that the way that the players that Palace have, I think will really suit the way that he likes to play. I think Palace have recruited really well. They've recruited a manager for the players that they have.
All right. Well, we talked a lot about 6 million forwards. Mateta, 6.5?
So he's been in a number of my drafts.
Has he?
A number of drafts have had Mateta. Right. In fact, up until this one, I think they'd all had Mateta in it pretty much.
Blimey, okay.
They'd also all had Tyreek Mitchell at 4.5 at the back.
Okay.
I like his...
of Haaland, Sesko, Mateta then, yeah?
No, it'd be Haaland, João Pedro, Mateta. But I also quite like Ismaïla Sarr at 6.5 as well. Like, I think he's a really decent option in midfield. And we've seen the return of him at the weekend back into the squad. So I feel like my team is Palace lacking. They are high on the fixture ticker as well. Good start to the season. I like the new manager. I like the players under him. I can see them still doing quite well despite the loss of Glasner.
Yeah. All right. Okay, very good. Well, that is it, Sam, for tonight. Listen, we've covered a lot of ground there.
Stop
and there is still a lot of ground to cover between now and the big kickoff. Bask in the glory of being ranked one in the world for probably the only live stream we'll do this season. Well, maybe we'll do a couple more before the start of the season and we can continue to be first in the world in FPL. That's it for now. Continue to tinker, guys. Enjoy the tinkering. Like I say, there's plenty of pre-season action going on. Loads of friendlies going on. Liverpool and Leeds playing right now. As soon as I get out of here, I'm going to look at that Verts goal. I want to see how Frimpong got the assist. I want to see how Verts took it. Right, I feel like I'm over-analysing everything Liverpool right now, but that's what we do, isn't it, as FPL managers? We overanalyze the hell out of pre-season. That is it. Thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you if it's your first time listening and watching FPL Family. Thanks for joining us. Hit that subscribe button. We're going to be live here every single Sunday, 9 p.m. So just after the Super Sundays have happened, all the games have happened. And this season, of course, you will have seen some of the updates from FPL Towers, right? We will be able to do much more live updates of the game.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to look at the FPL Family Mini League. Your code is in the description below, by the way. We'll be able to say who's having a good game week, who's top of that mini league. We'll be talking about...
Our manager of the month, we'll be able to talk about more.
Manager of the month, we can talk about a bit more, right? So the live nature of the game, I think, is going to really enhance it this season. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. When are we next going to do a live stream? Next week or maybe in a couple of weeks? What are we saying?
Well, next Sunday we will be with our delightful friends, Az and Yelena. So we could do a random stream. with all four of us.
There might be some content.
There will be some content. Like. We might end up streaming on a different day, or we might pre-record a video of an updated draft and put it out on, I'm not sure yet, but we will, there will be some content next week. Okay. I just don't exactly know what it will look like
yet. It's probably not a live stream, not an FPL family live stream. We might jump on a Yelena blogging thing that she does, right? I might be on the Yelena's YouTube channel. Or maybe we do a black box live.
Yeah, because
like
you can do like a collab across two channels.
Let's do it.
So we could go just live on her channel and put a collab. But last time that happened, Lee, I got drunk, remember?
I do remember. And if I remember rightly, it got a lot of likes. It got a lot of engagement. So maybe that's the right thing to do. Thanks everybody for joining us tonight. Hope you enjoyed the video.
It'll be your birthday.
Thank you.
As well. We had birthday cake and a hat.
Yep, all that stuff's going to be going on. I'm too old to celebrate birthdays now. Let's not do the birthdays.
But it's your birthday next Sunday.
It is my birthday next Sunday.
Yeah. Send me some birthday love next Sunday.
Leave us a like, subscribe if you've enjoyed the video tonight, and we'll see you probably in a couple of weeks for another live stream where we'll update our drafts and we'll start locking in some of those picks, and we will do the pre-season predictions, which I love doing. So probably we'll see you in a couple of weeks, if not on Az and Yelena's channels next Sunday. All right, cheers, guys. See you soon.
Bye, guys.